Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
It's exhausting.
Here's John Williams.
But we do. This is John. We're in the Skyline Studio overlooking. I'm turning over my left shoulder now, looking out the 18th story window to give you a live report of the downtown skyline. Kind of blue, kind of gray, kind of white. It's a pleasant day in the city of Chicago. I hope you have a nice day, too. Here we go now, till 3. Weekdays 1 to 3 and Saturdays 10 a.m. till 12 noon. We might get a little interrupted on the Saturday broadcast once Northwestern's football season gets underway. Weird thing about Big Ten football, though. The schedule is out. We've known who we're going to play for a long time, but the times of the games aren't listed because they're waiting to see. So maybe there'll be a 11 o'clock kickoff, maybe a 1 o'clock kickoff, maybe an evening kickoff. We just don't know on the games. Remember, you can always listen to the Mincing Rascals podcast, the podcast we record on Thursdays. We'll throw up a good one tomorrow, and the gang will wax on about the scene in Chicago, Illinois, and across the country. Wonder what the Mincing Rascals think about Lori Lightfoot's defense of the city versus Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz fired off a 9-part tweet this morning, going after the city of Chicago again, saying that it really is the worst place in the world, and we need to fix it. I love it when people who really don't know the city tell us how to do it. We'll get to that in a minute. The Hurricane Dorian continues to work its way up the southeast coast to Florida and on its way to the Carolinas. That thing at one point was moving at 1 mile an hour. 1 mile an hour.
Wasn't it also stationary?
Yeah, I guess that's 1 mile an hour.
But that's, I mean, it's crazy.
Just sitting there just plowing through the Bahamas and northern Florida and now South Carolina. Just wham, wham, wham. I mean, they said on CNN today, imagine a tornado in your neighborhood for 3 days. That's what they were going through. And so you see those images. And I don't know what the befores were like of these neighborhoods in the Bahamas, but it really is devastating. It really does look like something just wiped them out, and something did. So you know what they do. They go down there and they interview the people. And this is my favorite guy of the week. This is a guy in Florida. He's gone viral. I don't know who he is, but he's a citizen of Florida, and he was in the storm's path. He's, what do you guess, Elif, about a 50-year-old guy maybe? Maybe a little younger?
Yeah, somewhere around 53.
Yeah, maybe a little older. And a little pudgy. He's got a nice goatee mustache, glasses. He's wearing a flowered shirt. He seems like a nice guy. They asked him about the hurricane.
They haven't come up with some kind of way to combat these storms yet. They keep saying, you know, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, oh, it's at this, but it's going to hit all this warm weather. All this warm weather and warm water. We have a Navy. Why don't the Navy come and drop ice in the warm water so it can't get going as fast as it's going? There's got to be ways to combat this instead of just pointing at the thing and saying, well, now it's getting worse. Yeah, we know it's getting worse, but you tell us, oh, it's the warm weather. Oh, it's the wind. Well, we have an Air Force. All right, so Air Force planes around to get the winds going the opposite way. The Navy to go in circles to fight it the other way.
So the Air Force and Navy fly the planes and ride the ships counterclockwise, you know, in the opposite direction of the hurricane. I guess that'd be clockwise.
Like Superman.
Yeah, exactly. And we can get just, have you been in one of those swimming pools in your backyard where we all start swimming
make
in one
a whirlpool
direction? If we just did that the other way with the airplanes and the boats.
Oh, man, that's so funny.
And this guy's slapping his forehead like, why do I have to think of all of these things for you people? We've got a Navy.
It's the most important person on the planet right now.
They could get some ice and drop it. It's big ice. It's fallen off. The Greenland is cleaving by the day. Go get some of that. Float her on down. Cool it off. Problem solved.
He sounds so confident in himself.
I know. He's adorable. I'm not mad at this guy. You know, the caption that goes with the viral video is, he gets to vote. I'm glad he gets to vote. How do you know who he's going to vote for? Maybe he's your guy. Maybe he's going to vote with you. This is why I liked the president's exploration of buying Greenland a few weeks ago, or for that matter, last week, nuking the hurricane so it'll go away. I mean, listen, those won't raise your taxes. Those don't strand children at the border. Those are just people thinking out of the box, and I like that. And you can laugh at us all you want, but if this guy's just going, hey, you know, I mean, for instance, if he was in charge of the Air Force, I would feel differently. But he's just a guy wearing a flowered shirt, and he's frustrated that we can't do anything about it. So he says, well, let's get some ice. Drop some ice in there. God bless him. Right? I'll bet once upon a time, Leonardo da Vinci said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put wings, and if we shape the bottom of the wing and the top of the wing properly and the air pressure is different, you'll lift right off the ground. And they'll go, oh, for God's sakes. And Da Vinci gets to vote? Are you kidding me? That's what they said. And the next thing you know, we're flying over the oceans. We're dropping atomic bombs.
Well, in all fairness, I think the comment about he gets to vote, and just based on science, it's scary the lack of intelligence. That's why it's scary that he can vote.
Yeah, I know. I know that. But all right. But I'll bet you if you'd say, oh, man, that guy's an idiot. And then you were going to vote for candidate X. And he goes, actually, I like candidate X, too. You'd say, well, everybody gets a vote. You take him on your team if they were counting votes. Maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you don't want him on your side. But he's just adorable. He's just a boy standing in Florida with a flowered shirt, frustrated that he's going to get whammed by a hurricane. And he's thinking, I know we can get some ice. In fact, he's probably got some in his fridge right now. Go get some of that. Everybody floated out there.
Maybe he's been seen along the water checking ice into the ocean.
Throwing
cubes. Like, no one else is doing anything.
I know. It's sort of like if you're driving an SUV right now, you go, it's just one SUV. China is putting out all the air pollution. And then some people say, no, actually, I'm going to start riding a bicycle because I'm going to be the last drop in the water bucket before it overflows. I'm not going to add to the problem. I'm not even going to add a problem. He's just the opposite. He's just chucking ice cubes into the ocean. All right, maybe that'll help a little bit. Maybe that'll help a little bit. God bless him. He gets to vote, and I'm glad he does. But again, if he's in charge of the Navy, completely different conversation. If the president is retweeting him, if Donald Trump retweets that guy, I'll play him one more time. Here's the guy that I don't want in the president's ear.
They haven't come up with some kind of way to combat these storms yet. They keep saying, you know, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, oh, it's at this, but it's going to hit all this warm weather, and warm water. We have a Navy. Why don't the Navy come and drop ice in the warm water so it can't get going as fast as it's going? There's got to be ways to combat this instead of just pointing at the thing and saying, well, now it's getting worse. Yeah, we know it's getting worse, but you tell us, oh, it's the warm weather, oh, it's the wind. Well, we have an Air Force. Right, some Air Force planes around to get the winds going the opposite way. The Navy to go in circles to fight it the other way.
He was this close to mentioning Superman, but he didn't. Our texts include these. 630, John, he is stoned. I think he's not. 773, hey, John, I'll bet he's a Trump supporter. I don't care. 773, hey, John, the guy who talked about the airplanes with the hurricane and the ice was goofing around, or was he serious? You watch the video. Just Google whatever. Guy with a flowered shirt that thinks we ought to drop ice in the hurricane. Video. I don't think he was goofing around. I think he was serious. In fact, I think he was ticked that we aren't doing these things.
Yeah, frustrated and serious.
John, I'm listening on the stream from Naperville, so I'm a little bit behind. Yeah, you're about maybe 30 seconds behind. But that Florida man seems to have a distinct accent, maybe from Boston. He's no Floridian. Yeah, he does sound like a transplant. I was trying to pick that up. Do you ladies have a feel for where that accent's
from?
Yeah,
definitely seems like Northeast.
Yeah.
I agree.
But that, you know, that doesn't change the fact that he's a guy in a flowered shirt standing in the way of a hurricane, wishing that there was a way to do something about it. John, can they help these people build their homes two floors up with strong materials? 630, John, for anyone who forgets Trump's promise that he has talked to police people who will help, could stop all the violence 3 to 5 days. Okay, that's about the gun violence in the city, which we'll go to in a minute. Joe, you're on WGN. Hi, Joe. What did you want to say?
Well, you might have a point. There's another idiot in the White House who wants to blow nukes up in a hurricane. I mean, so maybe they're in the same group.
Maybe he's the environmental advisor to the president on hurricanes and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. But I wanted to say one other thing, John. If this guy was, in fact, in charge of the Navy,
yeah,
I'd move.
Then I'm looking for a new country with a different Navy.
That's it.
Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Diamond and Silk are advising the president on things. If Diamond and Silk, viral sensations that they are, they're fun, they're funny, they're sassy. Google Diamond and Silk. The president of the United States has 30-some million followers or something like that, but he himself follows 47 people. It was 45, which I thought was clever. I think it's up to 47 now. But among the rare company that the president follows on Twitter, and it's almost all Trump properties, Trump children, Mike Pence, and Fox News people. That's really the universe of people that the world's greatest Twitterer follows on Twitter. Among the 47, Diamond and Silk. If you don't know who Diamond and Silk are, you should check them out because they are in the president's ear. And if they can be in the president's ear, this guy is just that close. He's just a few more followers away. John, send a couple of... So are we going to do this now? I just wanted to mention this as a one-off. We're 17 minutes into the show now, and we're talking about ways for us to fight the hurricane. John, send a couple of tugboats to get some icebergs that broke off. Push them in front of the hurricane. That should do it. 630. John, I think he's from Jersey. John, wait, are there people out there who think this guy is actually serious? Do people really not get the humor? Oh, I think everybody gets the humor but this guy. I think he's for real. John, sometimes the super crazy ideas become reality in the future. It's what I'm saying. That's why I like these ideas. Let's not, you know, the problem with mocking people who say we should nuke hurricanes or float icebergs in the way of hurricanes is that one of these crazy ideas one day is going to work, but nobody will say it because they're afraid of the mockery they're going to get. Let's not be that way. John, they've been talking about chicken sandwiches for a month. Level of importance on items a little off these days. America really is all over the map. 630, John, I think he was quoting Ted Cruz, and 219, John, he's thinking big thoughts so you don't have. Sun Times today has a really good story, a really fun story by Misha Davenport about the she shed commercial, you know, the State Farm commercial where the husband and wife are standing out there. Her she shed is on fire, and she said,
Someone burned down my she shed. No one burned down your she shed. I can't remember her name. It was struck by lightning.
Cheryl.
Like Cheryl?
Here's a clip from the commercial.
Well, it finally happened, Zachary. Somebody burned down my she shed.
Nobody burned down your she shed, Cheryl.
Well, my she shed's on fire.
Your she shed was struck by lightning.
Zachary, is my she shed covered by State Farm?
Your she shed's covered, Cheryl.
You hear that, Victor? I'm getting a new she shed.
On it goes. People have elected to watch that on YouTube over a million times.
Do you get why?
It's a funny commercial. It's a really... She's so deadpan. He's so deadpan. And people... You know what the internet is loving? I mean, according to the Sun-Times story, they're loving She Shed and yeah. She-Shear. She-Shear, She Shed. She said.
Yeah, down by the seashore.
Exactly.
What does She-Shear mean?
Yeah, you know, She-She is fancy, and She-Shear, She Shed would be a nicer She Shed. Her She... Shed.
I'm so confused.
She's got a well, the problem is a lot of people don't know what a she shed is either, but it's a little shed out back that wives have. It would be the equivalent of a man cave where she has her flowers and plants and needlepoint or whatever. It's her escape house. And I've always thought of that as where the guy goes, but I guess women have she sheds too. So her she shed's on fire.
What's she shear though?
She shear is nicer. Fancier.
She-shear and is a what?
She-she is a word.
Okay.
So
what does she-she mean then?
It means fancy. And fancier is a she-shear, she-shed.
Okay.
Reggie.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Reggie Corelli is the guy, and Nicole Butler is the woman in that commercial. She's from Englewood. She's going to join us tomorrow. I can't do a better job, maybe, of interviewing her tomorrow than the Sun-Times did today. She's been in a lot of TV commercials you've seen before, and she's been in a lot of TV shows you've seen before. She's a bona fide actress, but maybe not a household name. But she says now she'll be walking across the street in Los Angeles, and people will just yell out, "She said! She said!" Here's some of the Q&A in the Sun-Times today. You've done national commercials for Progressive, Walmart, and others. Why is the State Farm spot so popular? She said because Cheryl and Victor and the dynamic of their relationship is something people can relate to. Reggie's performance is so deadpan. He's holding the garden hose with the water slowly dribbling out. People also wonder just what the heck a she shed was. This introduced something new to our shared lexicon. Question. Were you familiar with the term she shed before you auditioned? Answer, no, I did not know what it was. Question, you are originally from Chicago. Which neighborhood do you call home? Answer, we grew up in a couple of places, but Morgan Park and Englewood are where I lived most of the time. You're the oldest of six sisters and a brother. What's your family's reaction to the commercials? She said, every time I say she said, I have trouble now. She answered, her siblings are really excited about it. They tell me every time it comes on. I get a text every single time. My family's always been supportive of my career choice. Now, when asked what I've been in, they always say, she's the she shed Cheryl. Question, what's the strangest place you've been recognized? Another question, the internet is ablaze with theories about. This is why we have an internet. The internet is ablaze with theories about who started the she shed fire. Bum, bum, bum. Every run from Elf on the Shelf to Cheryl's husband, Victor, have been named. Answer the burning question on our minds. Who started the she shed fire? Answer, I know, she says. State Farm does not condone arson. So I can say with certainty it was not Cheryl or Victor. I think it was probably lightning. Were you surprised by how much attention the word she-sheer got? I was surprised by the confusion, she said. Did Cheryl get her she-sheer she-shed? And just how she-sheer are we talking? The last one had a chandelier. It'd be pretty hard to top that. The answer was that Cheryl's she-shed is still on fire. So it hasn't been replaced yet. I hope they do a sequel to this. I mean, Progressive did a lot with their commercials. I would like to follow this couple. Lori, you're on WGN Radio. Hello.
Hi, John. John, you actually said that women go out to their she sheds to do needlepoint.
I did. I don't know what they do out there.
Everything except needlepoint. We'll start there. Okay.
Do you have a she shed, Laura?
I do. Well,
you do?
Yeah, it's
Holy
not a
cow.
Shed, but I have my own room.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that's good. What do you do in your room?
I hide bottles of wine.
Maybe that's what Cheryl's doing in her she shed. Got the chandelier. She can watch her TV, and she can drink her Chardonnay. Chardonnay for Cheryl and the she shed. Thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
I was with some women, though, 2 weekends ago. Brenda and I visited some friends, and by golly, the ladies were needlepointing. I don't think that's such a crazy preoccupation these days.
Do you know who had a she shed
no.
in the 19th century? Or 18th century?
In the 1700s?
Yeah.
Who?
Marie Antoinette.
No kidding.
She had the Petit Trianon.
I don't know about this.
Yeah, you do.
I promise you I don't.
At Versailles.
No kidding.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I remember going to Versailles, but I don't remember the she shed part. How about that?
Yeah. Well, it's a she shed in today's language, but...
It's also like 1,000 acres and a castle. Laura, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? Hi.
Hi. So, okay, I'm so glad you're talking about this ad because I totally didn't understand it. I understood what a she shed was. So I'm sitting there watching this with my husband, and I'm like, what's she-sheer? But he's like, you know, she-she. I'm like, what is she-she? I've never heard that expression before. So he's like, and, you know, she's doing it like a comparative, like she-sheer. I'm like, I never understood what she was talking about. I've never heard that term before.
I'm pretty sure. Well, you know, she's going to join us tomorrow, I think at 1:30. So right about this time tomorrow, make sure you're listening, and we'll nail that one down.
Okay.
Laura,
thank you.
Thanks for the call. But somebody else just texted in, and they said they think she is a derivation of chic. So you have chic, which is she, and if it's even chicer, if it's more she, then it's she-er. I'm done now. New Orleans is the most dangerous place, three times more murderous than Chicago. Number two, Detroit. The third most murderous city in America is St. Louis. Then Baltimore, then Oakland, then Kansas City, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Memphis, Buffalo, Washington, D.C., Stockton, Miami, Milwaukee. More murderous than Chicago. So the big metropolitan areas to our north and south are more murderous than Chicago.
That's actually very shocking.
The whole thing is distressing. That was from yesterday's show. And we're not done talking about the Twitter debate, which is a ridiculous place to have something like this between Lori Lightfoot and Ted Cruz, which continues today. He has a 9-tweet post about the gun rates and murder rates in Chicago and elsewhere in the country. I'll just read you the first one, then we'll move on until maybe Ted Cruz or Lori Lightfoot can join us. But the first tweet from the senator today is, Mayor, remember Lori Lightfoot called him a coward and said, keep our city out of your mouth. He said, Mayor, your anger is misplaced. Virtually every year, Chicago has the most murders of any city in America. In 2017, the top five were Chicago with 650, Baltimore 343, Philadelphia, and on the list goes. New York, which is, of course, bigger than us, had a third almost of ours, maybe half, 290, we had 650. Los Angeles had 286. So I get that point. But I think that's a real pickled herring when he throws gross numbers out. Of course we're going to have more murders than Baltimore. We're a lot bigger city than Baltimore. The rate is what matters, and that's what I was talking about in that piece you just heard there. But, all right, so whatever. None of those are numbers any of us can brag about or be proud of. But let's talk about it without, as Ted Cruz said to Alyssa Milano, with whom he will debate this topic, let's do it without the snark of Twitter. Ted Cruz, come on our show. I tweeted at him. I don't know. Was this an effective way to get somebody to come on? Let me just read you my tweet. I said, Senator Cruz, you don't like the snark of Twitter. We don't either. Join us on WGN Radio in Chicago to talk about gun violence. Mayor L called you a coward. Prove her wrong with the conversation on Chicago's number one talk station. I didn't want to sort of back him into a corner, but I also wanted to sort of make it imperative that he come on. Anyway, that was my tweet to him. We've been in touch with the mayor's staff as well. While they say she'd like to come on, she can't today. It just kills me, though, because people will... I think your priorities... Of course, I work at WGN, but I think your priorities should be talking to the people of your city when you're the mayor of Chicago. And tweeting back and forth at Ted Cruz takes about as much time as I would ask from the mayor on our radio station. Hopefully she'll join us this week. And really... I'll back whoever. I'll put money behind whichever horse I think can win. I really don't care whose opinion it is, but I'd like to know what the facts are, what the policies are, and which one would be most effective. Of course, we all would like to know that. I called the Chicago Crime Lab today, and they may join us this week on this as well. Meanwhile, Chicago Tribune restaurant critic Phil Vitale joins us on Wednesdays about this time. Hi, Phil. Where are you?
I am home.
All right.
Working on my computer.
Working on your computer or working on your computer?
Tapping. I'm on my keyboard. I am actually on my chair near my computer.
Yeah.
I can see it clearly.
Okay, that's good.
But yes, the prepositions are very important. I should get these straight.
So are you... Yeah. what are you writing about today? Or is that something we have to wait and read next Wednesday?
You have to wait and read about it next week.
Hey, by the way, let's talk about the things that you have been writing about. Restaurant Critics, Chicago Tribune. I want to start, though, with the question that Bill and Wendy, whose show precedes this one, were having on our station today. They were arguing about what happens to the basket of bread that you leave on the table after you leave. One of them said the bread gets thrown away. The other person said it gets put in a basket for somebody else. What do you think happens to the basket of bread that I leave on my table?
Option B would be a health code violation.
Yeah, I didn't ask that. What do you think happens to the bread when I leave it on the table?
I think it gets thrown out.
What a waste. What a shame.
Unless a waiter's hungry and grabs one on the, in the back.
Don't blame him for that. I'm sure the bread's fine.
I shoot all the time.
You know, really, I guess that's what you got to do. But that really is, there ought to be a way for us to manage that.
It really is. And the dual difficulty, of course, besides transporting it to people who can put it to good use, is that freshly made bread, which most restaurants we're talking about are dealing with, has a pretty short shelf life. It's meant to be consumed hours, you know, from when it emerges from the oven, no later. So you got to really have a good system in place to get that bread where it can be useful or cooked into something else.
Phil, I just thought a big thought. You ready for it?
Oh, yeah.
Here's what they do. They tell you, we can get you a fresh basket of bread, but for 50 cents off, 50% off, we'll get you one with recycled bread from other tables this evening.
It's genius.
It's essentially the very same bread. It was just sitting on that table. Now it's sitting on your table.
Right.
Ding, ding, ding.
And yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
You don't normally get charged for that bread. They just kind of drop it there. But I don't know. Find a way. Your first drink is 50% off. Something like that.
But
so other people, save us the bread.
Other people have been breathing on it and coughing over it, though.
You don't have to take it. So you would say, yeah, I'm not one of those people. I'm not going to have that.
I don't want to do it.
In fact, I'm not going to do it. In fact, I'm a little nervous about the bread I have anyway. So the promise that it was actually breathed upon by other patrons is not going to happen. Then don't take the bread.
Right. Well, the waste of bread like that and also dietary changes, which so a lot of people are avoiding bread and gluten, what have you, I think is one of the reasons behind the decision by some restaurants not to automatically offer bread anymore or to have a very composed bread basket for which you pay $6 or something. Mostly because people who make that commitment will eat the bread. Or take it back or something.
I'm sorry to hear that, though. Although, to be honest with you, if they put the bread in front of me with a little olive oil and some Parmesan, and some places have a little, like, olive, maybe, or carrot tapenade thing, or a little relish that you can put on there, if you do that well, that is one of the most delightful things in the world. And it can't be costing you that much money. If you do that well, a nice oil, some nice cheese, and then a nice little spread or little dish of something to go on, a nice piece of bread. Oh, that's such a nice way to start your meal.
But would you pay $6 for it? Would you rather not?
I would rather not pay for it and have it, which has been working out for me at some places.
Right, which is good. Recently. But in a larger sense, for some restaurants, that may represent an appetizer not ordered.
Oh, because, yeah. Interesting.
Because you have filled up on olive and olive oil and tomato spread and that wonderful bread they make, which gives them, like, great points for hospitality and warmth, but zero nickels in the till.
Yeah. Phil Vitale's the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. He said it's a health code violation for them to recycle the bread, and he believes that it is, in fact, not recycled. It's tossed out. You wrote in the Tribune, bare necessities, where to grab a bite before and after Soldier Field home games. Season starts, we all know, Thursday. And you've got some places that we should just bump into real quick here, shall we?
Sure. For instance, there's Manny's Coffee Shop and Deli, which has been a South Loop institution for a long, long time. It's where all the politicians stop for their shots when they're out campaigning. If it's an early game, you can get there. If it's a day game, you can get there early and have some egg dishes and whatever. And if you go afterwards, there are entrees and sandwiches and stuff like that. And you can always get corned beef. That's a good one. There's Low Country South Loop, which is a spinoff. There is one in Lakeview, and it's very rustic looking. And they do seafood boils, and they serve it in the plastic bag. So you get a bag of seafood and potatoes and whatnot, and you get a bib, and you go in there and get messy. That's 11th and Wabash.
1132 South Wabash. They also have their deep-fried Oreos.
Deep-fried Oreos, which I had never had until my son and his friends came over one Thanksgiving with one of those big deep fryers for turkey. And after they did turkey, they came back the next day, changed the oil, and then just started thinking of things to deep-fry. And eventually they got around to Oreos. And you know what? They're not bad. They're pretty good.
I can't think of a worse idea.
Doesn't it sound awful? Yeah, one bite, and you'd be,
I'd be changed, huh?
Well, you'd want a basket of those instead of stale rolls. I'll tell you that.
Chicago Firehouse Restaurant is just on South Michigan, 14th and Michigan.
Yeah, that's a nice place. That's been a restaurant around. It's got a nice. It's got a few years on it now. Finally, they were closed for about a year and a half, 2 years after that. After a fire caused by a roofing accident.
Kind of ironic that the Chicago Firehouse Restaurant caught fire.
That occurred to a few people, actually, but yeah, and nobody was hurt, so we're allowed to joke about it.
Yeah.
But now they're back. That's good. Steak and seafood is what they're about in the evening, but they do have a Sunday brunch. So on the days the Bears are playing at home and it's a noon or 3 o'clock start, great place to hit for your little pregame fill ups.
Bar Louie is on here at 47th and Polk. You write a lively bar with good pub food.
But right.
Are there any places that surprise you or that I might, like I've heard of Low Country. I think Manny's is a pretty well-known place in town and Bar Louie too. What's a place that might surprise folks on the list here?
Tapas Valencia. It's 1530 South State Street. Very good, as the name suggests, Spanish, mostly tapas, some paella. They have a brunch menu with more eggy dishes, but when you're there at brunch, you can get any of the tapas anyway, so you don't have to decide. And it's very pretty on the inside. It's got a nice little outdoor patio for the few weeks sniff left in our outdoor patio season. And yeah, it's quite good. The same people are behind a restaurant in Naperville, so they know what they're doing. They've been around for a while. And also Acadia, which people probably wouldn't think about because it's a 2-Michelin-star restaurant, and they usually they're known for their multi-course hundreds of dollars menus, but they have a little bar in front that has all of 20 seats, and they have little bar menu with a really good lobster roll and a delicious burger with bacon onion jam. And they are about to launch probably sometime in October, about to launch an 8-course, I guess you'd call it a tasting menu of bar snacks. So for $45, you get 8 little bar snacks.
Wow.
And you can fill up on that. It sounds, I haven't seen one, so I'm not sure if you can share it with another person. I'm guessing you can, because bar snacks tend to be a little rest kind of heavy in the stomach anyway. But that's good. It's just a small bar, only 20 seats. They don't open till 5, but that's one you won't think of. Like, oh, that was a fun Bear game. What do you say we go to a 2-Michelin-star restaurant right now in our Butkus jerseys and short pants?
So,
well, you won't be alone if you go to the bar.
It's at South Wabash, 1600 South Wabash, Acadia,
right.
And Bar Louie, Cafe Bionda. The list goes on. It's in the ChicagoTribune.com/dining, or read it in print. Phil Vitale's Bear Necessities, where to grab a bite before and after Soldier Field home games. By the way, texts include these. John, some restaurants take their unused bread and make croutons. I believe that, although I'll believe that's also a health code violation. John, maybe the waitress brings the bread basket as you get your soup or salad, and you choose what rolls you want. She hands them to you and then takes the basket back to the kitchen, and it doesn't sit on the table. That sounds like an economical way for everybody. That doesn't sound like a bad idea.
And it's a nice way of providing variety, because if they carry a tray like that, they could have as many as 6 different types of bread, and people can pick one or two and get it like that. And in that case, I think they're probably okay with using the bread for croutons if none of it gets, eventually there'll be leftover bread, right?
I got 2 questions for you before you go, Phil. It's 1:51. Let me pause. Come back and just answer this question for me. You write about a Wisconsin-style supper club here in the Chicago, in Chicago. I think those are some of people's favorite words, especially this time of year, Wisconsin-style supper club. And we've got one in town. And maybe if you don't answer this today, Phil, answer it next Wednesday. Before it gets cold, I should eat where? In a minute on WGN. It says here, yeah, hey there. Wisconsin-style supper club offers near-perfect prime rib in a Fulton Market basement, huh?
Yeah. Well, actually, I said, Yahey, where?
Yahey, where? Oh, yes, you did.
See what I did? See what I did there?
It's really funny what you wrote there, Phil Vitel. The place is called St. Clair Supper Club, and it's in the Fulton Market District, huh?
Yes, it's owned by the Alinea people, the people of the, you know, $290-something, you know, full course, you know, 15-course menus and of aviary and of Royster. In fact, St. Clair Supper Club is in the basement underneath Royster, right there at Fulton Market. This... And it's a kind of a recreation of a kind of a childhood memory, but maybe with a little more sophisticated cooking, although the menu is very true to the concept.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, if you fancy it up too much, then you don't have a Wisconsin-style supper club. You got to have prime rib. They've got that.
They've got prime rib.
They've got
but their twist is all they have is prime rib and maybe one other special that day. That's it. And they only cook the prime rib to medium rare. That's the temperature. That's what you get.
Caesar salad?
Nope. Oh, yes. Yeah, so they're very nice Caesar salad. They're a wooden bowl. It's a big thing. They've got the cream corn. They got the cream spinach. They've got all the sides you want. They do a brandy old-fashioned, as they do north of the border here.
They do
a frozen grasshopper pie. Which is another supper club thing, and what makes it, of course, is that the prime rib is absolutely delicious. I eat a lot of prime rib. There was a time when I was a much younger man, and I would grab prime rib every time it was available, and sometimes it would be super fatty, and occasionally not. And this stuff is damn near perfect.
The name of the restaurant is St. Clair Supper Club. It's in the Fulton Market area. The address is 951 West Fulton. You know where the restaurants are.
It's in the basement.
3 stars. The rib cuts are generally $48 to $75, but it sure sounds delicious. I've kind of got a hankering for everything you just described. I'm out of time here, Phil Vitel. Will you join us next Wednesday, sir?
I would love to.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
Oh, boy.
Here's John Williams.
You know, if I had really big thoughts, I'd be able to think away the hurricane. Oh, wait, one of the presidential candidates has just suggested that. Stand by!
Oh,
we're in the Skyline studio overlooking what Heidi Stevens tweeted moments ago from the Chicago Tribune. Maybe the most perfect, beautiful day in the history of Chicago. She saw a really blue sky. Look up through the canyons of steel and beautiful buildings we have with a blue wash, and it is a thing to see. I'm not sure if I'd put that on the list, though. I'm not sure this would be the most beautiful Chicago day I've ever seen, but boy, when you get this kind of temperature this time of year, the blue sky does seem to be about its prettiest hue, doesn't it? It's 2:10, and so here we go all the way until 3 o'clock. We were, Elif, just for a second here, Sam Panionovich, the sports betting analyst, the left fielder on the WGN softball team, the guy I used to work with on Saturdays here before he went to Greener Pastures, is in our studio. How you doing, Sam?
Howdy.
Say it again.
You're going to turn my mic on. You forget?
Well, I like it when I talk and you don't,
okay.
So that's what happens.
Right.
But before we talk to you about the Bears game tomorrow and all of the what do you call them, prop bets and lines?
There are 283 ways you can bet this game in New Jersey. Isn't that nuts?
Before we get to all of that, though, I want to play the guy from Florida standing there with his Hawaiian shirt on. He's just a happy guy. He's just an American who's in the path of a hurricane, and he's thinking out of the box to try and keep the hurricane from hitting him. The caption that goes with this tweet, the meme you'll often see is, he gets to vote. I'm not against this guy voting.
They haven't come up with some kind of way to combat these storms yet. They keep saying, you know, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, oh, it's at this, but it's going to hit all this warm weather. All this warm weather and warm water. We have a Navy. Why don't the Navy come and drop ice in the warm water so it can't get going as fast as it's going? There's got to be ways to combat this instead of just pointing at the thing and saying, well, now it's getting worse. Yeah, we know it's getting worse, but you tell us. Oh, it's the warm weather. Oh, it's the wind. Well, we have an Air Force. Drive some Air Force planes around to get the winds going the opposite way. Get the Navy to go in circles to fight it the other way.
You get the Air Force to drive some airplanes around in the opposite way, and next thing you know, you've just snuffed the thing out. Lauren, the more I play that, the more sense it's starting to make.
Oh, no,
it?
John, come on.
I think if I just play that every half hour or so, maybe the sheer genius of it will cool the Hurricanes, Jets.
That's so, Elmer Fudd, right? Isn't that Elmer Fudd? That's the Floridian Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, now he's going to look for the rabbit.
I said Flood. Fudd. Fuddruckers.
So here's a headline from CNN. Williamson deletes tweet suggesting power of the mind can deter Hurricane Dorian. The Williamson I'm speaking about is the Democratic presidential candidate Marianne Williamson. She's the author. She's the feel-good, love-conquers-all, love candidate. She's the one that the internet and some of the broadcast media fell in love with, which doesn't do the Democrats or America any favors. But she's still in the conversation, and she tweeted this: the Bahamas, Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas may all be in our prayers now. Millions of us seeing Dorian turn away from land is not a wacky idea. It is a creative use of the power of the mind. 2 minutes of prayer, visualization, meditation for those in the way of the storm. She deleted that. I don't think that's such a crazy thing to post. And if you're going to post it, keep it. I think you should stand by your words. Sam Panionovich is the sports betting analyst. The Bears play the Packers at home Thursday night. That'll be the first game of the season for the NFL, right?
That's correct. They're kicking off 100, year 100, with Bears and Packers on the lakefront. Bears are a 3-point favorite. You know what that means, right?
I have no idea what any of this means.
So Las Vegas and the markets around the world. It used to just be Las Vegas, but now you've got almost 15 states in America where you can actually walk in and make a bet, including Indiana and Iowa. So we're being suffocated right now.
I got an idea, Illinois. Drag your heels on this because there's no sense in cashing in while everybody else does.
I wonder if you'll be able to make a bet in Lake Michigan before you can make a bet in Illinois. That'd
there's
be
probably
something.
A line, a big red line, and when you cross it, boom.
There probably is. But the Bears are a 3-point favorite, which means Vegas and the markets around the country and also around the world say that they are 3 points better than Green Bay. And the point total, so combined points for both the Bears and the Packers, 46.5. So do your math now. 21-20, 34-31. The number to beat over or under is 46.5.
So if the Bears win by two,
the Packers cover the spread.
I still lose.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I need the and if the Bears win by three,
you get your money back. It's a push. It's like kissing a sister.
And if the Bears win by four,
you get your money.
So you get your money back isn't really doing any good. You want to win.
Win by four more.
And if I bet $100 and it's a 3-point spread and the Bears win by four and I have $100, how much money do I get?
Well, you'd bet 110 to win 100, so you'd cash your ticket, you'd walk back up with your ticket and you'd get 210 back.
I don't know what you just said. I go up to a guy.
So you
and give
walk
him
up to a Connor and you give them $110.
I give them $110
because you're paying a 10% tax.
I didn't know that.
Oh, you're way behind here.
So to bet $100, it cost me $110.
Yes, sir.
The state. Okay, now I have a $100 bet, and it's cost me $110. Keep going.
So your $110 that you put down, if you win the bet, you get the $110 back, and you get the $100 that you win.
Really,
so you get $210.
So then, not two tens, but $210.
Yes.
I give my ticket, and I get the 110 back plus 100.
Yes.
Well, shoot. All we got to do is...
It's like rocket science in here.
They got to put this in the papers, because I like its chances. Because, yeah, I'll take that. You don't think the Bears won't win by 4 points? The thing is, we don't know what this how ready this offense is, but I like that.
I like the under in the game. I think this is a low-scoring, black-and-blue division type game. I think it's 21-20, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know who wins. And that'll make a lot of people look, whoa, you're going to pick the Packers. I didn't pick the Packers. I said I'm not confident going against Aaron Rodgers. And there are some that are. I saw Adam Hoge, great Bears reporter, great Bears writer here at GN, said 13-3, and he's got him winning the Super Bowl. That's about as optimistic as you can get. I think it's more 9-7, 10-6. Can they win the Super Bowl? Yes, they can. I think they're one of the best five teams in the league. Am I picking them to win the Super Bowl? No, I'm not.
You're not confident enough with either team, though, to take 3 points, no points. You're not interested in that.
If I had to pick one of the two, I'd probably lay the three with the Bears. But like I said, the number that keeps coming in my brain is 21-20. To me, I like that more than I like a side.
Right,
I think it's 21-20. How about this? What if it's 21-20 Packers and Eddie Pinheiro comes up with a chance to win the game on a field goal? How about 23-21 Bears? Are you happy or no?
Well, it's still under 46.5.
Yes, sir.
So you'll take the under on that.
I will.
Here's another, what do we call these things? Prop bets?
Mm-hmm.
Khalil Mack for the season, 13.5 sacks. That's the number in Vegas?
And a half last year. No, that's a homemade prop that I made. You can actually bet some of these things around the world. And I mentioned a lot of these different shops now. There's a place in New Jersey that will soon be at Hawthorne here in Illinois whenever they launch. PointsBet is the name of the company. And they're making all the numbers, and they're shooting their numbers around the country. And whichever shop wants to use their numbers, you can use their numbers. On Thursday Night Football, Bears and Packers, PointsBet will let you bet that game 283 ways. Will Khalil Mack get a sack? Yes or no. Will Mitch Trubisky throw a touchdown? Yes or no. And all these different bets have prices. So those are bets you can make. These are just hypothetical numbers I made for you because I love you. I made the number for you, Khalil Mack sacks, 13.5. Last year,
season.
He had 12.5. He only played 14 games.
I know, but you're banking on another. I mean, what will lead the NFL in a given season for sacks?
17, 18, 19. Aaron Donald, I think, had 20 last year.
13.5. What do you think of that number?
I think it's a great number because I made it.
I know that, but I mean, I was inclined off the air to go with the under on that. Because
you believe in regression.
I do.
But the defense, here's the thing. I understand that logic. The defense could be even better, though, because you have growth from a lot of the younger players. Roquan Smith should be better. Leonard Floyd should be better. Eddie Goldman should be better. Eddie Jackson should be better. If all those players are better, does it not make Khalil Mack better?
Yeah, but maybe they throw two. Not that they didn't see him coming last year, but maybe they throw more guys at him this year, and so other guys are getting the sacks that Khalil used.
But that's why this is so fascinating, because you and I literally just threw a number on a piece of white paper, and we're having a conversation about it.
All right, so I'm going to take the under on that.
Okay.
Akeem Hicks tackles for loss, 11.5.
He had 12 last year.
He's a zip code. He is amazing.
He's huge.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't have a feel for tackles for loss.
You could pass then.
Yeah, right. 11.5.
My favorite one is the one at the bottom of the list, because that's the most polarizing one in the city. That's the most polarizing thing in the city, the kicker.
You know, here's what you can do. If you want to screw up your chances of having a successful team and a successful kicker, talk about it. Put Pretz on it. Everything. Fly helicopters. Get in his face. Get in his head and go, boy, you better not miss. And do that wiggly thing with your fingers at him. Ooh, you
jazz
better
hands.
Not miss.
Jazz hands.
Do jazz hands at him, because that's really going to make it easy for him to just focus on the task at hand. And God forbid he miss one. God forbid he doink one. We are all so prepped for a black cat scenario here. Let's not make our field goal kicker the GOAT that the Cubs had to deal with.
He was the GOAT last year.
Team missed field goals 5.5.
it's fun to do this.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
That's the regular season number. So they play 16 games, and that's a whole team thing. I figured 5.5 was a good number. And here are some kickers in years past. Last year, Cody Parkey was 23 for 30, so he missed 7. You go back to the Robbie Gould era, though, in Chicago.
Yeah.
26 of 29, 21 of 25, 24 of 28, 26 of 29, 32 of 36. So it can be done. They can put them through. But I raised it up. I have it about 5.5 missed field goals.
Well, it's a good thing we got rid of that goal guy, huh?
I don't think he's missed since. He was 10 for 10 with the Giants. He was 39 of 41 with the Niners 2 years ago. Last year, 33 of 34.
Refresh my memory. I know there was some bad blood, but I mean, why did he leave again?
Ryan Pace got rid of him about a week or two before the season started because they didn't want to pay him. They didn't want to pay him.
Yeah, but the last field goal that he attempted for the Bears, what happened there?
I don't think it was anything bad. Not that I remember.
Okay. Maybe I'm thinking of the Vikings.
I think it was just dollars and cents. Yeah, you're really thinking of Blair Walsh, the kicker for the Vikings that shanked one of the left. They lost to Seattle in the playoffs.
And that was the end of that. Okay, so team missed field goals, 5.5 for those of you keeping score at home. These are homemade exotic props. Bears regular season wins, you've got the over-under at 9.5.
Now, in Vegas, it's 9. In New Jersey, it's 9. This is not exactly a homemade prop, but that's homemade juice.
That's your number.
Well, because if we're in Chicago and I say the numbers, over, take the over! So I put it at 9.5. I think they could be 10-6, like I said. But a lot of people in a lot of different places are banking on this regression that you've sort of hinted at.
They're 9? 9 is the number?
9 is the number in Las Vegas.
Does that make us 9-7?
Now, the Packers, the Vikings, and the Bears all have the same win total, 9. It's the same for all three teams in Las Vegas.
I would take 10. Are you kidding me? I'd take 9.5. I guess you can't have 9.5, but I'd take 10. If the line was 9, I would go 10.
Well, get on a plane. Fly out there.
I could go to Indiana. I could walk.
You could you could jet ski. You could just go along the lake.
I told you how much I like jet skiing and asked you if you had one.
This is a good number. I like this one because this is the one that really gets you to think. If you're really optimistic about the Bears this year, and I gave you, say that the S&P was open here and I was taking bets, and I put the number for Bears playoff wins at 1.5, what would you do?
Okay, we'll pick it up here in a minute. 312-981-7200. Your thoughts, please. You're smarter than me. 312-981-7200. But you might not be smarter than our sports betting analyst. He used to do sports with me on Saturdays here at WGN. He's the left fielder of our softball team, Sam Panionovich. Sports analyst, betting analyst, sports analyst too, Sam Panionovich is in our studio. He's sharing with us what some of the bets are for the NFL season relative to the Bears. Some of them are his homemade prop bets, like the Bears playoff wins, the over-under you have at 1.5, which is tantalizing. I think the Bears will be in the playoffs. I think they'd win their first playoff game. That's one. The question is, do they win the conference?
Well, if you play in the wild card game, that gives you an extra game. So you could win wild card game, divisional game, and have two wins. If you go 12-4, 13-3, you get a bye. So then you go, right, divisional and then conference. I think they're in the NFC Championship game. I really do.
That's two.
So that'd be two wins. So I would probably go over there. But might there are a lot of people. I sent that number to a bookmaker in Las Vegas, and he laughed.
Why?
And I said, why are you laughing? He said, they're not winning a playoff game. So why not? Because the quarterback sucks. So there's this perception outside of our bubble that we live in here in the Windy City, that the quarterback is no good, Mitch Trubisky. I happen to disagree. I think he got a lot better in the second half of the season. He was still learning that offense. John, it'd be like if I gave you a radio show and I expected you to be number one in 6 weeks. It's not fair because you're still figuring your show out, right? It's going to take you time to figure out what you want to do and when you hit your sweet spot. He didn't have that offense under wraps. He didn't know the whole offense. He didn't know the whole playbook. Now he does.
Yeah, but how do you know that? I mean, because we haven't seen it. And he didn't play any exhibition games. And I thought the word this summer was that he wasn't really connecting on all of the new patterns and passes that they wanted him to throw. My understanding is they wanted him to try him anyway to see what his range and the limits were with him and his receivers. But you're banking on something we haven't seen yet, right?
Yes, correct. I'm a believer. I'm a believer in the offense. I'm a believer in the system, and I think he's going to put Trubisky in positions to succeed.
Okay.
One of your texters asked from the 815, you should ask your guests what some of these bets would pay out. Well, most of the bets are straight bets, so it's 110 to win 100 or 11 to win 10. But I do have at the bottom of our page, these are the actual future bets. Now, these are where things get juicy, right? These are the bet a little to win a lot, like the Bears to win the conference. If you walked into most casinos in the country right now and bet on the Bears to win the conference, the $100 bet makes you $500. If you bet the Bears to win the Super Bowl and they win the Super Bowl, $100 bet makes you $1,200 in Vegas, $15-1 in other places, depending. You always shop around. It's like when you drive down the street and look at gas. One place has $2.80, one place has $2.83. It's different at every gas station, different in every book. How about Mitchell Trubisky to win the MVP?
Ha!
They opened him up at the Westgate in Las Vegas at 200-1. 200-1. Which means he's not winning the MVP. However, the number now is 40-1. So people have bet on Trubisky like crazy in Las Vegas.
If you told me $100, I'll lose, but I'll make $1,200, the Bears to win the Super Bowl, I would lose $100 on that. I have $100 to lose to make $1,200 there.
So Trubisky to win the MVP
right now. No way.
Well, especially at the number, because everything is reflective on the price. At 200-1, okay, maybe I'm interested. At 40-1, I'm really not.
Well, really, you're not interested in $4,000?
Is it that easy?
No, I don't think he's going to win.
See, that's
it
what
at
people
all.
Think, well, though. They look at the board and they go, you know, I could really use $4,000.
Fine, but to me, since you don't think he's going to do it, if the odds were 1,000,000-1, I guess maybe then you put 100 down because then you make $1,000,000. But I'm not, I don't want to lose $100, and I'm going to lose $100 on that bet.
If we had $100 to take any of those six bets,
right,
win the North, win the conference, win the Super Bowl, and then the MVP bets, Trubisky, Mack, and Cohen, I would agree. My money would probably go on the Bears to win the Super Bowl,
yeah,
at about 12-1. So 100 wins, 1,200, 1,000 wins, 12,000.
Is this your futures bet, Khalil Mack, to win the MVP?
It is not, but that's something you can do in Vegas where $100 pays out at 100 to 1.
100 to 1, Khalil Mack.
Can you do that math?
Normally, defensive players don't win MVP.
Normally, they don't. $100 there wins you $10,000. Are you interested now?
He scored points for us last year, too. I mean, I know he's not an offensive player, but he really... Has a player come to a team and made more of a change outside the quarterback position than Khalil Mack made to the Bears last year?
No, nobody has. And I checked this because we talked about this yesterday. The last defensive player to win the MVP.
Lawrence Taylor?
Lawrence Taylor in 1986. He was the last one. And wow. He was a maniac in many, many ways.
Urlacher didn't win it. Buckus may want to, but that would precede.
Two defensive players have won the award. Alan Page in 1971, Lawrence Taylor in 1986. And just comparatively speaking, you ask, all right, Trubisky's 40-1. Who's the favorite? Patrick Mahomes is 5-1, Chiefs quarterback.
Yeah.
And our buddy Tom Brady is 6-1. Those are your two favorites.
Well, I sure hope Tom Brady doesn't win it. Nice to see you, sir.
Good to see you.
We're out of time. Anything I can do for you here?
No. Turn my mic off. Love you, King.
Sports betting analyst Sam Panionovich. Friend of the show's. He plays left field for the WGN softball team. We're in the playoffs, by the way. What's the over-under on that?
Oh, we're winning the title.
Yeah. Is there a prop bet out there I can bet on us to beat the Reader or whoever you're going up against?
I think that's illegal.
Okay.
I'm looking for...
Jen DeSalvo, it's 2:38. This is WGN. I'm John Williams. Rokan, Anna DeVlantis. Inform and entertain you in about 23 minutes.
How can I even know what lies ahead if I don't go?
What are you doing here, Ms. Garris?
I'm playing a song by Caravan Palace, and this is a French group from Paris that I want everyone to know about. This is a song off their new album, Chronologic, which came out Friday, and it's all I've been listening to the last 4 days.
What's the name of the group?
Caravan Palace.
Hit it.
In my world, I am looking for...
They'll be at House of Blues on October 11th.
October 11th. Singing in English here, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Do they sing in French, too?
Not much.
It's called house music?
No, it's more like electro swing.
Got it. Electro swing. I was doing my second guess. Still following Hurricane Dorian. We're still following the stock markets. We're still following the Bears' progress to the Packer game Thursday night. Lots of things to talk about and track for you. We're doing it all here at WGN Radio. I want to go back to something that earlier we were talking about just because there was so much fun. The guy with the Hawaiian shirt in Florida that they interviewed on a local TV station, who's our new favorite guy. I think this guy should vote. Some of you are saying he shouldn't in general elections, but here is the breadth of thought that some Americans have that are in the way of Hurricane Dorian.
They haven't come up with some kind of way to combat these storms yet. They keep saying, you know, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, oh, it's at this, but it's going to hit all this warm weather and warm water. We have a Navy. Why don't the Navy come and drop ice in the warm water so it can't get going as fast as it's going?
Bingo.
There's got to be ways to combat this instead of just pointing at the thing and saying, well, now it's getting worse. Yeah, we know it's getting worse, but you tell us, oh, it's the warm weather. Oh, it's the wind. Well, we have an Air Force. Drive some Air Force planes around to get the winds going the opposite way. The Navy to go in circles to fight it the other way.
Every time I play that, it gets just a little bit better. Lauren Lapka's now gone from he shouldn't vote to he should be in charge of something.
No, oh, God. That would be so bad.
I don't know why nobody's bringing up the obvious here. What about HAARP? We're talking about how we stop the hurricanes, but I thought that there was a whole facility that creates these hurricanes.
HAARP?
HAARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program up in Alaska.
Never heard of that.
Me neither.
Now everybody's got to Google it, and then you can go into the long wormhole.
And when you do get there, are they discussing how to start or stop a hurricane?
So there has been long-term conspiracies about this being able to change weather patterns. It is something that changes the shape of the ionosphere. It looks like a ton of radio antenna just out in the middle of nowhere in Alaska. And right now, I think it's managed. It used to be a U.S. military thing, but it was handed over to, I believe, the University of Alaska Fairbanks a few years back. And, studies have shown that when it powers up, all of a sudden, huge things happen. Katrina, Irma, that...
So people think this has been used inadvertently or otherwise.
Climate warfare.
But it generates crazy climate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if we could just figure that thing out and put it on reverse, you know, sort of like... my screwdriver. I have an electric screwdriver.
Well, maybe it was working. Maybe it kept the hurricane off Florida coast.
Oh, or yeah, maybe they did zap it though.
Right? I don't know.
John 619 says, I have to disagree with you, John. That guy should not be allowed to vote. 708 said, back in the, I think, 1970s analog magazine, there was a story titled Jane the Giant Killer, about having fighter pilots take out tornadoes with pony nuke missiles. Maybe President Trump got his idea from there. There's a scientific design tower, like a super cooling tower that could be 10 times larger than used at power stations. If these were placed down on strategic locations on Florida and the Caribbean, they could steer the hurricanes away or cause them to break down entirely. This was a fact article from Analog Magazine. Also back in the same era. Thank you, Peter. And somebody else said, by the way, John, didn't Bill Gates come up with an idea like this? John, 815, I think Bill Gates is developing a way to steer hurricanes. 630, of course we can't use nuclear weapons, but can we at least use our largest bombs and give her a try? All right, nuclear weapons are a bad idea. We've got fallout, and that won't work. But I guarantee you, a guy. Guys like to drop bombs. Guys like to just blow stuff up. And guys are sitting there and they're playing cards and they go, I got an idea. Let's just, nukes are crazy, but what if we just got a bunch of big bombs? And we just, let's just see. You don't know. I'm in. Just boom, throw it out there. John, this is Sage. It says 630. A congressman, Democrat from Georgia, thought Guam would sink with the weight of military aircraft. So members of our own Congress come up with crazy ideas. You know the one he's talking about? Lauren, do you know the one he's talking about? I do. This is several years ago. This guy's still a member of the U.S. Congress. What's his name, Aleph? Do you remember?
Hank Johnson.
Hank Johnson, Democrat from Georgia? I think he's from Georgia. And they were contemplating a base in Guam, or more troops being stationed in Guam, enlarging a base in Guam. Anyway, it would be on the edge of the island of Guam. And he was concerned about that. So they're having a hearing about that, and there's some Navy brass that are there. Imagine them all just in their beautiful uniforms with all of the awards and fancy bunting on their shoulders and chests, and they look just brilliant, and they probably are brilliant. Hank Johnson is asking them questions.
This is a island that at its widest level is, 12 miles from shore to shore, and at its smallest level, it's 7 miles. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide. I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
we don't anticipate that.
The whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
Oh my goodness.
You should have seen Lauren Lapka's reaction when she got to that point. You did a little dog thing where they go, oh, you kind of turn your head sideways like, did I hear you correctly?
Yeah, wait, what? What? Arr. Yeah, I'm a very expressive person, but that was not hard to react to.
What? Excuse me? And the poor guy, you know, the Navy brass are sitting there and they can't go, I'm sorry, Mr. Congressman, that's crazy talk. Because, you know, they're trying to get their thing done here. So they're so respectful, like, well, we don't anticipate the island capsizing, the square mileage of the island, I can get that for you. Yes, sir. Get me out of here. I got to believe those guys had a stiff drink after that hearing. John, HAARP doesn't change the weather. That's a conspiracy theory.
That's precisely why I introduced it as a conspiracy.
708 said, when it powers up, that HAARP machine changes the weather patterns in Alaska, not Florida. So that's kind of a conspiracy theory, but doesn't believe that it's going that far.
It doesn't really change the weather patterns anywhere.
Well, you're the one that brought it up, lady.
Oh, yeah. Tongue in cheek.
John, look at all of the people in Chicago that get a vote, and they vote for some of the stupidest stuff I've ever seen. Yeah, be careful if you do an IQ test or a current events quiz for people, and if you don't pass it, you can't vote. I get that. I understand that. I completely understand that. Some people think you shouldn't be able to have kids unless you can prove that you're smart enough to raise them wisely. But just be careful when you go down that path, because if somebody else is the decider and you don't measure up, you'll be sorry. John, placed the first ever. That's about betting. Okay, we'll get to some of these in a minute. Don wanted to say something. Hi, Don. You're on WGN.
Well, what I was going to say was when you were talking about HAARP, I mean, it's the first time ever. This is a massive hurricane, one of the largest ever, and it came to a complete halt before hitting Florida, and it looked like it was directly on. I kept looking at it every night on the radar, and I'm thinking, how's this thing going to turn? How's it going to turn? And it stops. I mean, it literally stops, and it does turn. Now, I understand how the atmospheric things work, but that high pressure that was over the Atlantic that just dissipated, I wonder about this. It has to make you wonder. I mean, you know, obviously the weather's getting weirder. We're having more issues and problems and flooding, worst flooding we've ever had in the United States ever this year in the middle of the country. But I don't know. It just seems strange to me, and maybe there is more going on than we know. We thought cell phones, you know, 30, 40 years ago would have been something that wouldn't have existed. It was just on Star Trek. But look today, you know, I mean, that's a lot less, I understand, technologically involved, but makes you wonder.
Don, that's the best call of the week, because that's my, I think if there's one good takeaway for all of us on this, it's that. Let's not ridicule people who are coming up with silly ideas, because then they'll stop coming up with silly ideas or they'll be afraid to express them. And who knows? We got cell phones. We got Velcro. I don't know what we got, but we got stuff where people thought, I got a crazy idea, and it worked. And that could be cell phones. It could be nuke and hurricanes. So I don't think nuke and hurricanes
are going to
work.
Nuke and hurricane, yeah.
No. I don't want to throw that in there, but I'm just saying, okay, nuking, but this isn't embracing the ideas that we know are right. This is embracing crazy ideas. So let's enjoy them and not call people idiots and say they can't vote.
Florida got lucky, and there were trillions of dollars that would have been lost if it hit Miami and went up
trillions. So there's so much money at stake. Somebody did something we don't know about, and that...
Who knows? Who knows? We don't know.
I'm not going to mock you. I just said I'm not going to mock you, Don.
Right. I don't know.
Thank you for the call.
Okay.
Bye now.
Thanks.
Yep.
Bye.
That's what we're doing here. John, energy to hurricanes. Interesting thought, says Mike. 773, do you think the Florida guy believes in climate change? I don't have answers to these questions. John, did this guy's daughter become Miss Teen USA? You know, some people don't have maps. That's the grand mommy of them all. But I'm not going to play that because I really shouldn't anymore. But if you want to look up the most unfortunate word salad on a national stage ever, then you need to just Google Miss Teen South Carolina, I believe, when she was asked a question and her answer had to do with maps. 773 texted, use one of those huge Dyson fans to steer the hurricane away. I had my first experience with a Dyson fan just the other day. I did not know about Dyson fans. It's a really swell fan. It blows air really well. There's no blades. It's just a hoop. I know you know about this if you've been introduced to Dyson fans, but I'm new. And it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. It's just a hoop. And
I like it because when I knock it over, I don't feel bad. I'm always afraid I'm going to break a fan blade.
I was afraid to put my hand in there, and they go, no, there's no blades. I go, yeah, there's got to be blades. And I very gingerly put my hand through it, and it didn't go. Brrr. We'll get a giant one and just shoo the hurricane off. John Freakonomics, too, has a theory of putting a tire apparatus off the coast to mix the cold water from the lower ocean with the warmer water on top to help steer hurricanes, some blah, 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 blah. One of the coolest ideas I've heard that sounds cuckoo bananas, but let's give her a try. And I don't know what happened to this one. Somebody was, and they said scientifically it should work. We just got to do it. And they're doing it. It's the hard part. But if you take a mirror and you float it in the Pacific Ocean, and then you get a bunch of little mirrors, thousands and thousands and thousands of tiny little mirrors, and they're floating on little floaty things in the Pacific Ocean. And when the sun comes down, it'll bounce the sunlight back up and it'll cool the earth. Global warming won't be such an issue because we'll be reflecting the light back up instead of absorbing it. And some kid came up with an idea about this armada, like those giant floats they have now of garbage that's floating in the ocean. Let's do that, make it and have it reflective and bounce the energy back up. I'm in. Just saying, people go, oh, that's a crazy idea. Let's not poo-poo ideas. John, I think we need Tom Skilling to reset your rationale meter. Rational meter, no kidding. Got to read this, Elif? Okay.
Turn the page.
No, I got to read this, don't I? Don't I have a commercial I got to read, or I'm okay? We're okay here? Got time enough then to talk to Ray? Ray, you're on WGN Radio. Hi, Ray.
Yeah, hi. Hey, how you doing, pal?
I'm good.
Hey, I think I just heard somebody say the same thing, you know. How many times have you walked into a lake and, you know, and the water was warm on top and all of a sudden, you know, you go out about 10 feet or 8 feet and all of a sudden it was cold water, you know? Could we just turn that water in the ocean with some kind of pumps or propellers or something to change the surface water? I'm sure it's getting its power from the warm water.
Okay, and, so we need to channel the cool water from down below, send it back up top, and then the hurricane will cool out.
Well, it seems like when it hits cold water, it loses a lot of its power.
No, I think you're right about that.
And it might be simple enough to get some kind of machinery out there to move that water from maybe 500 or 600 feet down to the surface, and it maybe slowed the damn thing down so it wouldn't be so destructive, you know, or change direction. You there?
I'm driving a really big bus, and I got room for everybody, man. I think that's I like your thinking there, Ray.
But, you know, it shouldn't cost a whole lot of money to churn that water, I don't think. But, I've swam in a lot of different lakes throughout the whole country. You know, when you walk into the water, you say, "Why, man, this water's warm." And all of a sudden, you go out about 3 feet, and all of a sudden, you're colder. Your feet are cold, you know?
That's it. You can be warm on top, and you get below the picnic basket, and all of a sudden, you go, "Wow, it's a lot colder down there." I know exactly what you're talking about.
And what is the water out in the ocean, maybe 500 feet deep?
Hey.
How cold is that water?
Ray, you're talking to a convert. I got to stop talking to you now. I got to get ready for the next show.
Thanks, pal.
Have a good day. Really big bus. In Studio A, where we keep the A-team, Rokan, Anna DeVlantis, and company.
Oh, I think that's misunderstood. I don't think that this is... There's
are coordinated by the talent level. You're in the A studio. We're in Studio D.